Good evening, everyone, and welcome to today's virtual meeting. I'd like to acknowledge that I'm joining you today from the traditional territories of the Lekwungen peoples, the Songhees, and Esquimalt nations. We're grateful for their stewardship of these lands. My name's Anton Bogman, and I'm one of the commissioners for the BC Electoral Boundaries Commission. I'm also the province's chief electoral officer. Please allow me to introduce my fellow commissioners. Linda Tynan is commissioner and local government advisor. Also with us this evening is Justice Nitya Iyer of the Supreme Court of British Columbia. She is the chair of the BC Electoral Boundaries Commission. Before we get the meeting underway and the presentation started, I would like to tell you a little bit about who we are and about what we do. We are an independent and nonpartisan commission created by the Electoral Boundaries Commission Act. The Act requires that commissions like ours review electoral district boundaries after every second provincial election. Our job is to review the area, boundaries, and names of an existing electoral districts and to make proposals for change. The way that we do this is by first asking BC residents for their views on this topic. And that's the purpose of today's meeting. After we had completed our first round of public consultations throughout the province, we will publish a preliminary report with our initial proposals. And we hope to do that by early fall 2022. Following the publication of our preliminary report, we will then have a second round of public meetings, again asking for input from British Columbians, this time on the proposed changes. Following that, we will write and publish our final report and proposals. This final report must be submitted in April 2023. Once the reports have been submitted and tabled in the legislature, it is ultimately the role of the BC Legislative Assembly to decide whether to accept all, some, or none of our recommendations. So what are some of the factors that we as a commission consider in making our proposals? Well, the Electoral Boundaries Commission Act explains what they are. Our governing principle is representation by population, which is defined in the legislation. In order to achieve representation by population, we must consider a number of factors. Consider geographic factors, such as accessibility within and the size of an electoral district. We consider demographic factors, which include population numbers, rate of growth of communities, and communities of interest. And we also consider the means of communication and transportation within a district. We must try to ensure that each electoral district is within 25% of the population average of an electoral district, which is currently around 57,000 persons. We do have the ability, however, to exceed this range if we consider it necessary to provide for effective representation within a district. There's currently 87 electoral districts in BC, and the Act allows us to propose up to 6 additional electoral districts for a maximum total of 93. At this time, all meeting participants have been muted. If you did not register in advance, but would like to provide input at today's meeting, please click on the raise hand button on your Zoom toolbar. And this will signal to our staff to add your name to the list of presenters at today's meeting. We're going to begin by calling each presenter by name. When your name is called, the meeting host will invite you to become a panelist, at which time you can unmute yourself and you can begin your presentation. Presentations at these public hearings are recorded and the audio files will be available on the Commission website. Your name and community will be listed with the recording. If you'd like further information about this information and how it will be presented, please review the privacy policy on the Commission website at www.bcebc.ca. To ensure consistency across all of our public meetings, we are asking presenters to please limit their comments to 10 minutes. We've scheduled 2 hours for this meeting. When we have heard from all presenters, there will be an opportunity for some questions and answers. If you do have questions when we're on to that phase, please use the Q&A button on the Zoom toolbar. After the Q&A part, I will close the meeting. I would like to encourage any presenters to please submit a copy of your presentation to the Commission website. It's important for us, although we're going to be taking notes as you speak, that we have an opportunity to review your material at a later date. So please do go to our website, www.bcebc.ca, and submit your presentation to the Commission. We'll be accepting public input and submissions to inform our preliminary report up until 4:30 p.m. on Tuesday, May 31, 2022. We'll now begin calling presenters. Again, please ensure that your microphone is muted, it's rather unmuted, before you begin your presentation. Our first presenter this evening is Shirley Ackland.
Good afternoon, commissioners. Thank you for this opportunity to speak to you today. I'm Shirley Ackland, and I'm also calling in from the traditional territories of the Lekwungen, Songhees, and Esquimalt First Nations, of which area I'm very happy to live, work, and play. I actually live in Langford, but I lived in Port McNeill on Northern Vancouver Island for 40 years, was the former mayor there. Currently, I teach at North Island College. I teach English, but I've taught at North Island College over 34 years and have taught in Port McNeill, Port Hardy, Alert Bay, Courtney, and Campbell River. We've been very diverse across our college region. I'm here today to provide some information on the growth of Vancouver Island over the past 5 years, and its likely growth over the next 5 years and beyond, and the need to address these issues during this round of electoral boundary changes. As you mentioned, over the last 5 years, we're looking at things that we need to consider to another electoral seat. And over the past 5 years, Vancouver Island has added more than 65,000 people to its population. In 2016, the population was 799,000 people, and as of 2021, it is 864,000 people and more than that, 100,000 people, sorry. It's an 8% increase. Growth is everywhere. Campbell River and the North Island has grown by 7.6%. Tofino on the Pacific Rim has grown by 27.9%. Langford, where I'm sitting from in the capital region, has grown by a whopping 31.8%. Even my home community of Port McNeill, which has been pretty consistent since the 70s, has grown slightly by just under 1%. And it's no secret why people want to live here, and we see the populations growing. In 2019, Maclean's magazine created a list of top 10 reasons why people move to the island. We've got world-class scenery, and that's not just in the south in Tofino and in Victoria area, but also the North Island, the Mid-Island of Courtney and Campbell River. Year-round outdoor recreation, the water temperature is quite temperate. We don't get huge, you know, blizzards and snowfalls, but just enjoy nice weather most of the year round. The lifestyle is more relaxed than the city. I grew up in Burnaby. Less traffic here than you would see in the larger areas of our province. It's affordable, although we would argue it's becoming less so with housing, and we all know that. There is a milder climate. Even in Port McNeill, we don't get the kind of weathers that you get in the interior of Canada. A vibrant culture. There's lots of arts and festivals. locally grown food, beer and wine are something that we're seeing springing up all over Vancouver Island. There's a lot of economic stability, but there's some changes going on. We're looking at resource communities such as those in the North Island with logging and fish farms, looking at what those communities then gravitate to. But we've got welcoming communities. I would argue that Port Mayo is one of the best places in the world to raise children, a very welcoming community where everybody knew your kids and they were safe when they went outside. And you could talk to RCMP officers. It was quite the coveted place to be when they wanted to be posted because it was just a very welcoming community. I suppose the question you would ask is, as commissioners, is, so do we need to add a seat to Vancouver Island because of the population growth? And I would argue, yeah, I think that would be a good idea. So where do you do it? And what do you need to consider? And as you mentioned earlier, Commissioner, some of the things that you consider is the diversity, is access to some of the remote communities. And although I live in Langford, I would argue very strongly for those communities of the north. I think the population is growing in our First Nations communities, and they are neighboring communities of Port Hardy, Port McNeill, and Zabalas. I know that it can be extremely difficult to travel from some of the islands in the Broughton Archipelago outside of Port McNeill. You have Guilford Island and Kinkum. You can ask the doctors who work in the North Island who service those communities on a regular basis. As a municipal leader, your MP or your MLA is often your first road of contact. Not a lot of tax dollars that come into small resource communities to help the citizens in that community with paving roads and building sidewalks and providing care for seniors and building the extra amenities that they need. And often the services are provided by nonprofits, and there might be only one. But the MLA and the MPs are pretty much run off their feet trying to keep us apprised of all of the grants that are available and what might be available for small communities to access. So I think it's important that there is a voice and that we do consider some of the smaller communities to have that access be available to them. Also, looking towards the future, I think many of our smaller communities on Vancouver Island, such as Port McNeill, Port Hardy, Gold River, are all vibrant communities that need to be have a better footing to establish themselves for small, young families. I think the connection of the coast and access to internet is going to help that. But I think having another opportunity for a voice that might be a seat that allows the access for people to understand what's available to them and connect them to the greater connections in the province, in the legislature, and in the House of Commons. I know that here in Langford, it's a very vibrant community. People will argue it's bursting, it's growing outside of almost outside of the boundaries, and there's a lot of people here. But there's also a lot of resources here, which we don't necessarily see that in our smaller communities. But thinking forward, I think that our young people that are raising families and looking for jobs need to be able to go to small communities and know that their voices are going to be heard. So what I would argue vociferously for a seat that would be in Courtney or Campbell River North, because I think that that would allow those communities the access to their government representation that they're looking for. They aren't really northern. They're more, I don't know if you could say remote, but access is certainly a concern. And I know it's something at the college that we have struggled with over the years. We used to have centers in many of those places because we wanted to ensure access for all of the people that lived on the north end of Vancouver Island. And so I'm hoping in your deliberations that you do consider Vancouver Island for an extra seat, specifically because of the growth of population. And again, I would argue very strongly that to please consider those communities that are north of Courtney and need to have access to an MP and an MLA that would be working on their behalf in the government that they've elected. Thanks for your time today.
Great. Thank you very much for your presentation this evening. Appreciate the personal knowledge of the area, particularly the northern part of the island that you bring to your presentation, the details that you provided, and to help illustrate some of the community connections. It's important that we hear voices like that. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for the opportunity.
Great. I would now like to call the second presenter this evening, and that will be Marianne Alto, please. Hello, Marianne. Please
proceed.
Hello,
Commissioner Bogman. Thanks very much. I just was checking to make sure that I was actually all connected. Thanks very much. I really enjoyed that last presentation. Actually, it's very knowledgeable. Thanks very much for taking on this job. I know it's an enormous task, and I know that you're addressing it with interest and a genuine attempt to do the right thing in the end. So I thank you for doing the job and for allowing this opportunity for the public to weigh in. As you mentioned, my name is Marianne Alto. I'm a city councillor in the city of Victoria. I've been a city councillor for 10 years. It seems not that long, but time flies. It's important for me to acknowledge, as we always do, that like some of you, I'm coming into you from the traditional territories of the Lekwungen-speaking people. Those are our friends and colleagues at the Songhees and Esquimalt Nations, as we know them these days. And we always like to acknowledge the grace and generosity with which they allow us to remain here on their territories. I do want to start by just acknowledging that while I am a city councillor currently, that I am speaking only as an individual, and I am not speaking on behalf of the city in any way, and I'm not indicating, nor do any of my remarks indicate any public policy or position on behalf of the city formally. Like the previous presenter, and I'm sure like many that you've heard throughout your work so far, I'm going to talk specifically just about the growth, particularly in the South Island and obviously particularly in the city of Victoria, and how it reflects what I think are some of the local changes needed in the electoral map for the next election and possibly for future elections as well. In the last 5 years, the city of Victoria has grown over 7% and is now home to more than 92,000 people. We're also, interestingly, one of the most densely populated cities in the country. We have, depending upon what source you attribute, between 4,400 and 4,700 people for every square kilometer. It seems in some areas of the city it's even more than that, but overall it's pretty significant. The trend in our population growth over the last few years is absolutely going to continue. We deal repeatedly, as some of you will know, at almost every council meeting with land use applications that look to a variety of different types, large multi-story developments, townhomes, what we've come to know as the missing middle type of project, carriage homes, expansions for secondary suites, and a whole host of other housing options and projects that are either already in the process of being developed or currently in an application or a development or under construction type of position. And the demand for all of these is extremely high, and I would argue extremely urgent, which essentially allows the city to anticipate that this will be the bulk of our considerations around land use for the foreseeable future. At almost every public hearing where we deal with land use applications, we hear from a variety of different folks, stories from individuals and families who either want to remain in or move to Victoria, urging us to approve virtually every type of potential home for rent or purchase. And at the same time, we're very blessed by the fact that there's no shortage of work in Victoria, which is drawing more and more new people to the city. We had some significant, obviously, impacts, as did many communities with COVID, and particularly on our tourism and hospitality sectors. And yet, at the same time, we still have a remarkably low unemployment rate. I believe last month it was just over 4%, 4.2%. And obviously, as those industries resurge, particularly the visitor industry, we're getting increasing numbers of staff coming who are needed to serve those visitors, and themselves looking for home bases close to their work in the city itself. And that's putting significant additional resources or pressure on local resources from what we need to do to provide homes for those folks, but also to provide all of the other social services that anyone expects from living in a healthy and robust city as you make a new home here. When I think of adding to that consistent move to the city and region, from folk who are looking for new educational or professional, experiential, lifestyle, and family opportunities, There's no doubt in my mind that we have a population boom that will continue and shows absolutely no sign of abating in the foreseeable future. And I think, as your previous speaker mentioned, also coming from the capital region, the city and the region, they're growing incredibly fast. All of the municipalities in the capital regional district are growing quickly, some more quickly than others, and some extremely dramatically, as the Western communities certainly are, and I believe as the core is as well, particularly in the Victoria City, as well as parts of our peripheral communities, particularly in Esquimalt and surrounding Southern Saanich. So I guess my thoughts here, and I'm not going to take all of your 10 minutes, I think when I think about redrawing the province's electoral map, I'm a very big believer in the fact that I think population change should be considered as sort of your leading indicator of where the boundary should go. I know that you do consider, as you mentioned in your opening, a variety of other factors, geography, access, technology, et cetera. And those are all really important, and I really did appreciate the previous speaker's reference to access to really democracy for folks who are living in smaller communities. But I'm going to argue very vociferously that because of the density and increasing volume of population increase in the core city in southern Vancouver Island, that this also deserves and warrants particularly attention. And I think the current and future growth in the South Island warrants at least one more electoral district, whether that's in the core itself or in the Western communities, I think is going to be obviously up to you and based on all of those parameters you're considering. But I guess I just want to close by saying, as a currently local elected representative, it seems to me that, I would echo the comments about the importance of providing a fair representation to constituencies in ways which reflect, a reasonable number of residents, not a vast number. And so as this population in my city and the region really surges, I'm going to urge you in the strongest language to make a proactive decision about electoral boundaries that reflect the future that we know is coming based on fact and precedent, and that you not wait to redraw boundaries reactively after the fact when population growth has already reduced democratic representation for local residents. I don't think residents should have to wait for fair representation. I think as the population explodes, that becomes more and more critical as a factor to consider. I know that the principle you've articulated already of representation by population is a primary consideration. And so with that in mind, again, I'll just close by urging you to ensure that Southern Vancouver Island will be home to a new constituency to ensure that there's reasonable representation to the people in my and the neighboring communities around Victoria. So I'll thank you for listening and for your time and consideration. And I'm interested to hear the rest of your presenters this evening. And I look forward to hearing the outcome of your deliberations. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much for your presentation and certainly providing us with a very comprehensive overview of Victoria and the Lower Vancouver Island, some really neat statistics, I think, for us to consider pertaining to growth and land use. And I feel your passion for the area, so thank you very much.
Thank you.
For our next presenter, I would like to call on Aaron Stone, please. Aaron Stone. Hello.
Hello, good evening. How are you?
We're well, thank you. Please begin your presentation. Thanks.
Thank you. And I apologize for my casual attire. I had to run from my day job to make it here in time, but thank you so much for the opportunity. And I'm going to fill in the missing middle, if you will, with our two previous presenters. I'm here to represent some perspective from the Cowichan Valley Regional District. I'm the mayor of Ladysmith, now former chair of the Cowichan Valley Regional District, also co-chair of the Island Corridor Foundation and the chair of the Island Coastal Economic Trust. And with that, I think I bring a perspective obviously grounded here in Cowichan and Ladysmith, but a broader perspective on all of the island and coastal communities along the Sunshine Coast through the extensive work that we've been doing over the last several years in the roles that I serve. But I'm here to represent what I feel is a great opportunity for the province and for the Electoral Boundaries Commission, and that is to look at greater representation throughout the middle island, if you will, between Nanaimo and South Cowichan. And reflecting on hearing from our previous presenters, I would also say there's an opportunity, I believe, when we're redrawing the boundaries, if we do look at an additional seat or two on Vancouver Island, respective of population, of course, is that redrawing some of the other electoral boundaries would provide, I think, a more accurate and better representation of the communities that are served by the MLAs that serve from here. But I'll just go through my notes here so that we can get the salient and important points down. Referring to population, we're all looking at census numbers. And again, Cowichan Valley Regional District has grown about 7% over the last 5 years. And areas within our communities have grown upwards of 15 or 18%. The Cowichan Valley Regional District comprises many distinct communities with unique electoral needs. I see it every day in my work at the regional district, whether it's the West Shore, the West End or the East Coast or the North or the South. There's a variety of differences, but also similarities within the communities that could use better and more diverse representation. The regional district is made up of a number of rural and urban communities with diverse populations, with employment in resource sectors, manufacturing, retail, and public services. These communities don't always fit easily in any cultural or geographical box. The proximity of the Cowichan Valley and North Cowichan to rapidly growing population centers on the South Island mean that people are looking for options outside the Capital Regional District and finding them largely north of the Malahat. Our good climate and cheaper housing options compared to the CRD have meant significant population growth in practically every community within this CBRD with no end in sight. We just can't keep up with the demand for housing, and we can all see that in the upward pressures on price, as well as inter and intra-provincial migration to Vancouver Island as a whole has been dramatic. And I think that even looking at the census numbers from last year, we're continuing to see record migration, both intra and interprovincially. Many people, particularly in South Cowichan, travel regularly over the Malahat to their workplaces and entertainment centers in the West Shore and Victoria and Langford. Families regularly make trips over the Malahat to get groceries from Costco or clothes from larger department stores not available in the CBRD. And people feel a strong connection to areas south of the Malahat as well within the CRD. Northern areas of the CBRD have experienced growth far exceeding provincial averages. Here in Ladysmith and communities like Lake Cowichan, Yubo, and North Cowichan have all grown significantly since 2016, some having grown by up to 18% in the western communities. The flexibility of Cowichan Valley regionally and culturally means it can easily adapt to redrawn boundaries, which will better reflect the needs of Vancouver Island communities and residents. In Cowichan, specifically in the core, investments in the new school, a new hospital, and new housing projects will continue to bring more people to the Duncan and North Cowichan areas of the central Cowichan Valley Regional District. And as you develop these new maps, I will hope that you consider the cultural and economic ties which connect communities in the South Cowichan to their counterparts in the Southern Island regions. And Vancouver Island needs another seat to accommodate past growth and prepare for more growth, as we've heard as a theme from our previous speakers this evening. Search for housing options outside the CBRD, developing a Juan de Fuca Malahat style seat could help address population pressure while also best representing the needs of electors in the South Island. Alternatively, an additional seat in Nanaimo could address the growing population in that area while also accommodating significant growth in the northern areas of the CBRD, with some other boundaries being redrawn as a result. And wherever it ends up, Vancouver Island definitely, from my perspective, needs a new seat, and I hope the commission will give this further consideration, and I just want to thank you all for your time. So sorry to barrel through all of that, but I know your time is precious, and I think that the messages you're hearing from all the speakers this evening are complimentary, and I think with some good thought and analysis of the population growth, both existing and anticipated, as well as the ability to redraw some other electoral boundaries, could ensure strong and accurate representation for communities and citizens of Vancouver Island. So thank you very much. And from Stamina's territory, I'll say Haichka for all your work. I know it's a challenging job, and thank you very much.
Well, thank you for bringing that unique perspective, as you aptly called it, the middle perspective, having heard from a presentation that focused on the north of the island, as well as one that focused on Victoria and the core. Appreciate some of the detail that you provided to us around the Cowichan Valley Regional District, especially the linkages north and south of that area. So you've given us lots of information to ponder. Thank you. I would now like to call the next presenter up, please. Shahzad Mansouri, please.
Can you hear me now? And the video. Sorry.
Yes. I'm not...
Okay. My name is Shahzad Mansouri. Thank you very much for hosting and this meeting and giving us the opportunity. I am, however, talking about, from what I understand, Richmond Queensborough. I don't know if we can discuss about that, because I know I was not able to attend some other meeting. So I was told that's fine. Thank you so much. No. Let me just get rid of this light in the background. I'm sorry. It's just too much. There we go. No, we're just, I'm just talking about the Richmond Queensborough one. I know this is a Vancouver Island meeting, but thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about Richmond Queensborough, which was basically divided about 2015 or so, where Queensborough was added to the Richmond East. And based on the population size of Richmond East, isn't quite ready to support, in my view, a fourth seat by itself. Yet something else needs to be part of it in order to make the constituency work. And that's why Queensborough was added. And it has been proven to be a good mix between the two communities, Richmond East and Queensborough. I know that one of the goals in these exercises is to anticipate population growth and plan ahead so that the ridings will make sense for the next 8 years. In Richmond's case, I think that was accomplished in the last round of redistribution. Our population grew, but the size of our riding stayed mostly close to average compared to the other ridings in British Columbia. And the riding in Richmond Queensborough has worked, Queensborough included. I don't think that there's a good argument for changing that right now, because I know the population sizes are part of what you look for and when you're weighing in when drawing the boundaries. The most important thing is the social identity of a place matters too. So I think it's also worth considering what Queensborough shares with the neighbors in Richmond. I know people in Queensborough come to Richmond for many services they need, like healthcare and vice versa. People in Richmond, we also go, especially after my accident with ICBC, the closest physiotherapist that we were able to find that deals with soft tissue injuries was in New West. In fact, so I was going back and forth. But one of the... And if you live in the Hamilton area of the Richmond, your best access to transit, the buses that over here, my daughter was attending SFU. There's a buses 405 or 410 through Translink that goes straight to the 22nd Avenue station, and then it's easy. So our bus system, everything is connected. But many Richmond also attend religious services in the Queensborough and vice versa. And this is the most important part. In Richmond, we have the British Columbia Muslim Association, which is the largest Muslim association in British Columbia. The head office is in Richmond along the Highway to Heaven, if you want to call it, number 5 road in Blundell. And that is where the only school, Muslim school, is located. And we know many parents north of the Fraser River. They come to Richmond, they send their kids to the school. We have a school bus that actually goes to pick up kids from there. So they're very, very much, the people in Queensborough are very much part of Richmond. It's just that they're living in New West, but they actually come to Richmond, number 5 road in Blundell area, on a daily basis. either dropping off their kids or even attend the mosques, because this is the only mosque. We have one mosque in Vancouver, but for the South Vancouver and the Richmond, for the New West, the closest mosque is the Richmond Mosque on Glendale Road. So even though we're two different municipalities, we are connected. The shopping area in the Hamilton area near the Queensborough Bridge is a popular destination for many of us. There's Walmart, there's Rona and few other stores there that we visit there regularly. And after the other thing was beside the mosque and what else? Yes, there's a Quran class that goes on in Queensborough. Actually, there's a Quran teacher, and many of us I was taking my child personally over there for years. He gives rents an office space in the Queensborough area where he held these Quran classes almost 7 days a week. And many of the parents we used to go and there. So I'm just trying to draw a connection between Queensborough and Richmond and the viability of it staying together is actually a good mix. And we would appreciate that if you would consider that. At the end, like I said, I don't have much to add. I would like to say thank you to the commission for hearing me and from everyone else who came today. And I hope you'll take you'll take everything you've heard today and consider it when you make the decision about our elected districts. We'll look going forward. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for making the time to give us a presentation this evening. Appreciate the local knowledge that you have demonstrated about the Richmond-Queensborough area and your highlighting of some of the connections between the two communities. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
So at this point, that is the last of our formal presentations. There was another individual registered, but they have not joined the call. So we're going to proceed now into the Q&A. So thank you, everyone, for your presentations. Thank you for the input that you provided today. Into the question and answer portion, please click on the Q&A button on the Zoom toolbar if you have any questions, and we'll remain if there are some questions. So it does not look like there are any questions from any of the participants at this virtual meeting. With that, I'm going to formally close the meeting. Again, thank you very much for your presentations, for the commentary that's been provided. It's a good opportunity for us to have these virtual public meetings in addition to our in-person ones, because we do recognize that for some who would like to make a presentation, the in-person ones are not convenient for schedules. As well, the virtual ones, of course, allow someone who missed a presentation in their local area to come and provide us with input as well. So again, thank you all for your presentations. The audio recordings of today will be available on our website next week. And if you have any more information that you'd like us to consider, I know for me, sometimes after I've made a presentation, I go home and think, oh gosh, I wish I had said this or said that. Please don't hesitate to, you can add that, you can make another submission through our website, or you can add additional comments if you are submitting your formal remarks to us through the website. So the best place to do that is www.bcebc.ca. And as well, if you have know of anyone else who would like to participate by giving us input, again, please refer them to our website, and we welcome all input that we receive. So once more, thank you all, and this meeting is now closed.